Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and in sync.
We knew to do it.
And this is an untapped in vinyl. I got Monk here with me, dude.
Yes, sir.
How goes it?
It goes, man. Right now we're trying Weizsäcker's Boat Echo Hazy IPA, which is a solid, lightweight.
It's a go-to, man.
Yeah, it's good.
A lot of my buddies that when we go out to drink, if we're drinking, this might be where we start, and it's where we stay. It's a steady beer.
Well, good, yeah.
You know what? On a scale of 5, what would I give it? I'd give it probably just because it's, and it's out of Memphis, and you got a Memphis cup.
I'd give it a 3.5. I didn't even think that you were going to bring a Memphis beer here when I got a Memphis cup, but
yeah,
it's High Cotton Brewing Company on the other side.
Yeah. They're good too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
They have a great Mexican lager,
mm-hmm.
which I like.
Yep.
I've been on a Mexican kick, dude.
If you ever get a chance and get up to Memphis, go to their brewery because they have all these weird beers that they don't can, and they're so good.
Yeah.
They're one offs. I don't know if it's last time I went there, something thick like some Imperial Porter or something like that. It was super duper good. They're not ashamed to try stuff, you know.
A lot of new breweries popping up in Mississippi. There's a new one in Oxford. It's called the Circle Square or Square Circle, one of the two.
Yeah. It makes sense because of the square there.
Mm-hmm. And then
the Squared Circle.
It's just like Circle Square or something. It would have been cool.
Some wrestling.
That would have been really clever. But I think, I recently had Kim on from, he's the owner of 1817 Brewing.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that I was asking him. I was like, you know, when it comes to the difference between Alabama and Mississippi, Alabama just kicks Mississippi's ass when it comes to, like, beer laws and, Alabama just really has it going on, like, when it comes to distribution. And all that, and that led into Kim talking about it. He's like, yeah, if you think about some of the breweries that have come and gone in Mississippi, there's not many.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, they fail before they can even get their
legs. I was going to mention one, Crooked Letter Brewing Company, and a brilliant name too for Mississippi.
Crooked Letter. Yeah. And there's another one, a mutual friend of ours that you introduced me to him, but Jeremy tells me that just across the street from Anthony's, there's going to be a new brewery popping up in West Point, Mississippi.
Wow.
So be on the lookout. Cool. So I hope they have a great tap room, and you're just across the street from one of the finest seating establishments in West Point.
Yeah, Anthony's is solid. I've eaten there a couple times.
But yeah, 3.8 for me on the Bo Echo. Dude, I couldn't give it, it's not a ghost.
No, I mean, I'll go 3.5. Yeah.
But great sipper.
I got you. I mean, it's solid.
Dude, brother, it's good to be with you.
Yes.
A lot to do, a lot to talk about, whether personal or music or just travels.
Yes.
I've had a lot going on personally. Not too good. So Well, let's start on a high note with you, man. You're getting pumped up about a trip.
Yes, I'm getting pumped up. Get to go to. All right, so I'll tell the long story. Try to make it short. There was just a time in my life after my brother passed away when things kind of fell on me, and I was thinking, you know, my mom's not going to be here much longer. You know, what am I going to do? This was obviously before I got married and bought a house and everything in Columbus, but I thought. Well, there's always been two places in the country that I've been fascinated by. I think that I would fit there, but I've never been. And that was Portland, Oregon, and Austin, Texas. So I said, when my mom passes, I'm going to go to Austin, stay a week. Then I'm going to fly up to Portland, stay a week, and then fly back home and figure out where I'm going to live. One of the two, you know.
Flip a coin kind of thing?
Yeah. And then, you know, I guess through the years, I kind of realized that Texas is just as hot as Mississippi, and I don't know about
possibly
that.
Hotter.
You know, I don't know about. So we're gonna go. Going for my birthday to Portland. The highs in August in Portland, 81 degrees.
I think you might have found your place, bro.
Heaven, dude. Like that's a high in the summertime. You know, I think it's a little hotter in June and July than it is August. But I mean, August is like hell raising here. So, but I'm really excited because we're going to get, it is my birthday week. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try a bunch of different breweries. We're going to eat well. Going to see Waxahachie on my birthday in Portland, which is amazing.
One of my favorite shows that I had gotten into, it's on Netflix. I think you would like it if you haven't already seen it, is Loudermilk.
Yes, I watched Loudermilk. Loved it.
Based out of Portland.
Yeah.
And it's also got Sasso in it, great comedian. Mm-hmm. But like one thing that I kind of connected with, and I guess you probably saw more than me, was you know your main character. He was a music critic.
Yep.
And like one of my favorite things that happened on that last season was like he had a run-in with one of the chicks that he completely destroyed with her first album, yeah. And they had a little thing going for a while, and yeah. I was like. Man, we oftentimes do like forget like just the power of
I totally forget her
opinions
name. I'm following
people.
Her on Instagram.
It's a legit person.
Yes.
So I'm
very good musician.
Yeah. So very cool show, but like Portland. I know Seattle rains all the time. I don't.
Yeah.
I live down in Mobile, and it's a little bit different than Seattle. Like when you talk about rain, Mobile is the rainiest city in the nation.
Really?
When it comes to the amount.
Okay. Yeah.
But like I think Seattle has more rainy days. Mobile just got more.
Gotcha.
Of it.
Yes, I got it.
Right there in the.
They're a little more like London. I heard that it rains constantly over there, you know.
And I always wondered, like, what that would do to my, like, mental health.
I don't know if it would. I don't know, man. Like, ever since my stroke, the rainy days, the cloudy days.
Kind of favor them?
I'm a little slower now. I used to love the rainy days because I hated the sunny, hot weather. And it was always a little cooler when it rained. But now, since my stroke, my mood changes. And I get real kind of down when it's. Not sunny, but then when it's sunny, I'm like, damn, I wish we'd have a day where it'd rain, get cloudy, you know.
It's so. That summertime in the sip.
Yep.
Dude, like, yeah, so, I mean, we're, 4th of July was just last week, and just that last couple weeks in June, like, I mean, I'm in Starkville, and we have implants here, whether they're studying at State or whatever reason they're in town for. Oftentimes we'll have people staying in Columbus or Starkville that are helping out at the SDI or the new aluminum factory or whatever else.
And yeah.
They're coming from the Carolinas or all over the place, and they're talking about the heat. Or, hell, everybody sees it on their social media. Everybody's got a meme about how hot it is. And I was like, y'all complaining about the heat in June? It ain't even July, and then ain't August.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, just hold tight for a little while.
El Nino, man.
Yeah, be happy with what you got.
Yeah, and to really think about how crazy it is. The past three summers have each been the hottest summer on record.
Is that true?
That's true, yes.
Because, like, I was looking at some, like, graphs, like, days gone by.
Well, I know.
Like, in Alabama, it was, I think it went back to the 80s that it was actually the hottest, or maybe even further back than that.
I don't know what stat I saw. I don't know if I saw like a country stat, like the United States stat, or I didn't. I don't think it was a Mississippi stat.
Okay.
So who the hell knows? I don't know. I just heard it from somewhere. You only believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. You know, half of what you hear, none of what you see. Well, no, what? No. Reverse that.
Yeah. Whatever. But you can believe us here.
Yeah. No.
We got the damn anything, gospel here, dude.
Don't take anything I say to the bank, unless it's when I'm talking about a good record.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about then.
Speaking of, just back to Portland, man. What's going on out there? What you going to do?
Man, the only thing, that, like, there's a few things that we know we want to do. We don't want to be too touristy. And there's a musician, so everybody get ready to write this down. His name is San Gabriel. I met him years ago. He was he played banjo for the Whiskey Shivers that came to Druid City Brewing Company a lot. And so I met him there, and we got to following each other on Instagram. I love his music. Have played him on Indies Only. Well, I reached out to him, and I'm like, hey, because he's there, you know, and I'm like, hey, what are we going to do up there? You know, we don't really want to do touristy things. You know, we're going to do one or two or three touristy things. I mean, anything we could look at, we will, but we just kind of want to know, like, where's the coolest brewery at that nobody goes to kind of thing, you know? But the two things that, there's one thing I want to do, one thing that my wife wants to do. She wants to go to Voodoo Donuts. That's the original first one right there.
Okay.
Iconic pink boxes and all that. And I want to go because my favorite all-time food is eggs. And there's a restaurant called Fried Egg I'm in Love.
Okay.
Like the Cure song, Friday I'm in Love. And they got really cool names for their menu items. Like they've got one egg sandwich. It's called a Yoko Ono. You know?
Oh, God.
So I'm looking so forward to going to Friday I'm in Love. And we're going to go see Waxahachie. Might go see the Struts. They're playing the day before leave. Yeah, at a little small theater up there. And then I've not looked. There's on Mississippi Avenue, there's a Mississippi Theater. In Portland, and I want to look and see what's going on there because I'd love to see some live shows while I'm out.
Man, I know, and help me out here if I'm wrong, but like I always thought that was the power of what you did with Indies Only, and a lot of the power of this show is to really lift up the local independent music like you and I are passionate about. But it seems like if you get outside the South, maybe Atlanta, Nashville, maybe New Orleans, is you get to a place like Portland, it's very possible to see a band like that is a worldwide touring band in a small theater.
Yeah.
To where they're not going to be in this area. And if they are, like, you better get your tickets way out in advance or you're not going to go.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, what that experience is like just living in a town like that to where, oh, yeah, dude, we got the Struts coming on Friday.
Well, I mean, you know? It used to be a little like that when I was in, because I lived in, when I was in Alabama, for the majority of the time, I lived in McCalla, which was in between Tuscaloosa, Birmingham. So I worked in Tuscaloosa, so on the weekends, I only want to go to Birmingham because it's actually closer to go to Birmingham for us. And so it was like that living in Birmingham. There's people there all the time. You know, I mean, you look at a little small place like the Nick. It's a shitty little shithole, you know?
The house that Staples built.
The house that Staples built, but... yeah, because I can remember back in the day when it was covered in flyers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the city said, no, I can't do that anymore. But, I mean, just go in there and look at the ceiling. All the Red Hot Chili Peppers played there.
Right.
Fishbone, Creed, you know.
Who's making a comeback?
Yeah. That's kind of lost on me. But, you know, it's really kind of cool having been... at that point, and plus back in that time I was working radio in Tuscaloosa and Birmingham, so I got free tickets and free passes everywhere. Yeah. I went, you know, that's why when I paid $117 for two Waxahachie tickets, I was a little like, what? Oh my God, what? Everybody was like, oh no, that's normal now. And I'm like, holy shit.
Brother, I feel spoiled a lot, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
just through this show or even like some of the hookups that through you.
Yeah, and going to Jamie's house, you know, Sunstreet house.
Sure. Or even, like, I recently went out to the barn for the first time. I wanted to go see Gabe Lee.
Who?
Gabe Lee.
Okay, Gabe Lee, yeah.
Great Americana guy, like a young guy. Reminds me of John Prine.
Right on, yeah.
If I was going to put somebody on, I would lead y'all to Gabe Lee if you like a good story. And it's that same kind of John Prine style to where he is going to tell the story of that gas station clerk. Or
yeah.
It could be a fireworks stand just somewhere in the rural South, you know. Yeah. So a lot of respect for people who are still telling those stories. But, yeah, it was – and Steve invited me out there. And, like, I had known Steve for a while. I guess he had just, like, kind of become familiar with what I've been doing.
Yeah.
With Porch Talk, and he's like, "You're on the guest list for the season. If you want to come do your podcast, I'll help you set that up with the artists coming in." Yeah. Same deal with Jamie.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Man, Steve, thank you so much." And I was like, "Well, I really got my own Gabe Lee, you know." Yeah. So I was able to get out there. Holly Rumbarger, which I know, she opened. Great night. If you've never been to the Sunstroke House or the Barn, I'd recommend it, especially if you're here local in Columbus.
What was her name?
Holly Rumbarger.
Okay.
Out of Hattiesburg. She's a Nashville transplant now.
Gotcha.
She's up in Nashville, which is where Gabe is from.
Yeah.
He's out of Bellevue, and so, like, he's always been in Nashville.
I mean, I can't imagine, like, you know, working country radio for as long as I did, there were a lot of little artists that I championed, and how many of them now are Nashville transplants? It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, Glenn Templeton, Adam Hood, luckily, is not yet. He's still in Tuscaloosa or Northport. But Victoria Camp, Sweet Tea Trio, I mean, all these bands that I championed for years, all now making Nashville their home. It's kind of crazy. And it's, I'm not going to badmouth Nashville. It's not my city.
No, man. I've
been there.
I've been multiple times, like, over the past however long I've been doing the show, whether going up there to record with people or hell, we went and worked the Tomato Festival up yeah. there. We drove the van up there and we worked it, and on the east side of Nashville, which is more of like a punk kind of an indie scene.
Yeah.
And even like seeing getting off Broadway and getting off of downtown Nashville and just seeing like the indie scene of it is like, I'm beginning to believe, like, Nashville has not lost whatever it has had over these years, but I think that Austin, Texas probably is the live music capital of the world, or at least of the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if not, like, I'll throw the hat in the ring for Birmingham for always continuing to put out a ridiculous amount of great talent.
Sure, yeah, oh, yeah. And, you know, Nashville, I mean, I don't want to badmouth all of Nashville because I don't hate the place. But I think if you stay off a lower broad, you're fine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can only handle, I really can't handle any Kid Rock, honestly. But
well, good for you. He's looking to build him a mini White House in Florence, Alabama. So he'll be even closer to you.
Oh, wow. Oh, yay. But I mean, this is like you walk down there. I saw a thing on Instagram the other day of this guy on the balcony of one of these places. And while he was filming, there was a person next to him, like on the balcony next to him, FaceTiming with his mother, talking about, there are three places with honky-tonk in the name within one block of each other. You know, it's like, no. And it's all you, I mean, it's all these arrest videos you see from Lower Broad and stuff. And I mean, I've been there a couple times. Cool little place, you know. It's changed a lot since I've been there because Blake Shelton's got a place. Garth has a place. Kid Rock has a place. All that didn't exist back then. But I got a chance to go and tour the Ryman, which is totally cool.
That was going to be where I was about to land, which is the old Grand Ole Opry.
Man.
But like, which is a dream for, you know, many people to play the Ryman.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Just to get to go there. I mean, went there and toured, but I was like, I want to see a show at the Ryman. And then I was like, you know, back in the day, one of my things was I want to see a show at the Ryman, and I would love to see Loretta Lynn before she passed. Well, I got a chance to go see Loretta Lynn the day after her birthday at the Ryman, one of her last gigs, and it was freaking amazing. Margo Price joined her on stage.
How about them apples?
Crystal Gayle joined her on stage, which is her sister.
Mm-hmm.
She sang Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue. It was awesome. Man.
Great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you can let's see, it's April 15th, 2017. You can Google it. Or go to YouTube and find it. Watch videos from it. I watched them the other night.
the way you are with Lucero, I am that way with Band of Horses, mm-hmm. and two of my favorite live recordings, which also I think went to vinyl from the Band of Horses, is they're live at the Ryman, and and they've done it twice, and that room, man, that dang room, you know.
Yep. So I tell you what, if you ever go there to see a show, and your ticket, you're going solo, one seat or two seats, and it says obstructed view, just know, because I sat there with Loretta, I had a pole right in front of me.
Oh, gosh.
From the balcony above, I was on the floor, and I had a pole right in front of me. So just know that when you go there. But
it is a cheaper ticket.
Yeah.
For good reason.
Yeah.
You ain't going to be seeing shit.
Yeah, because at the time when I was going, I went by myself. So there was like, that's all that was there was the obstructed view seats, you know? So it was like, okay, all the couples got all their spots.
And also, like, just speaking of Nashville, somebody I want to give a shout out to, and I want him to be on your radar. He's going places. Scott Levi Jones.
Scott Levi Jones.
Friend of the show. He's been on this show twice now.
Is that where I've heard of him then?
Possibly.
Okay.
And when McGowan had his 60th birthday party during the summer equinox or whatever that thing was about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right at the end of June. He had invited me, Joe invited me out to his place to play. And I was like, yeah, I'll go. But I had to work that night. And I told Joe, I was like, I ain't going to be able to get off work. I'll just come after. And I just got off my day job and I was going to my night job. And I did not want to go. And I just, for whatever reason, I had an Instagram notification.
Yeah.
And it was from Joe. And he's like, look who's setting up. And it was Scott Levi Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And he always has Caleb Hudson. And he had brought a drummer and a bassist down. So they were going to have a full band.
Yeah.
And I was like, brother, I don't know if you knew it, but I was about to tell you that I was not coming. Like, I had done worked 8 hours at this job and working 5 hours at this job, and, like, I'm beat, but, like, I'm coming now. And, like, right when I got there, the Cicadas from Starkville, they're just an instrumental band.
Yeah.
It's just a guitar who also...
I thought you were talking about the actual Cicadas that were around this year.
Who have been putting on a show up to a point to where we're all sick of them.
Yeah.
But this is... a drummer who could probably play anywhere in the world. He's that damn talented. And then the guitar player who also will pick up a saxophone and kick ass with that.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to see the Cicadas. And then after that, Scott Levi Jones and his band went up. And when they went up to take a break, I walked up and I told Scott, I was like, hey, you mind if I borrow your band for a minute? He's like, if they don't mind, I don't mind. And I was like, I got two songs I want to do.
Yeah.
And Caleb.
What a proper band.
Yeah. And Caleb was playing lead guitar. And I was like, Caleb, you play with me? He's like, hell yeah, dude. And so the drummer and the bassist fell right in. And we played two songs. And I was very happy that I went to Joe's 60th birthday party,
yeah,
dude. Because great set, great crowd that night, dude.
Yeah.
Never seen so many people in Sesame, Mississippi. And if you never heard of it, that's because it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of photos of it. Never been invited, but I think, you know, with me, for the most part, having to get around in a wheelchair, I don't think it'd work out there.
We can get you out there, dude.
Get four-wheeling out there, you know?
Yeah.
Give me a golf cart.
But Scott's he's very funny in between songs. He's a showman, and I really believe in Scott. And if y'all ever get a chance to book him or go see him, do it. You won't be disappointed. I hope you'll be seeing him at Porch Fest 25, which, by the way, is. If I can get my damn money together, it's going to be at the Trotter this year. So we will be, we'll be in the cool of the AC.
Yeah.
And I've got two chefs that are going to be back there in the kitchen. One transplant from Los Angeles and another transplant from Greenwood. And I love it when I get those two boys working together and they are going to give you a bang for your buck. You know, that money that you spend at them damn stadiums watching your favorite ball team paying for $8 hot dogs. Yeah. You're going to get some damn fine food for that same price.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, damn, I'm getting a full damn experience. Yeah. Yes, you are.
I will compliment you, too. You're wearing one right now. Your shirts this year, I love the logo.
It's a political year. We wanted to be political.
It was perfect.
Who you going for? I got Porch Fest, dog. I don't know if you watched the debates, but I ain't with either of them.
I'm voting for Waylon. Did he play this year?
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, man. By the way. Now, you know I'm a huge Waylon fan. Shooter Jennings announced on his Instagram feed that he got to look at through his dad's stuff, found a couple albums worth of material, not demos, new stuff. So he's going to be releasing it.
Wow.
Yes. So I'm looking so forward to new Waylon Jennings stuff coming up.
I don't know.
It was Johnny Cash that just put out a new record of his called Songwriter, a bunch of songs he wrote during the Rick Rubin stage right toward the end of his life.
Yeah.
He wrote a whole album's worth of just stuff that he wanted to showcase his songwriting. And it's a fantastic record.
Great. Great plugs, dude.
Yeah.
On that same vein is with Johnny Cash or with Waylon is it's an old project now and I'm blanking on the name of it, but
Johnny Paycheck.
I wish. No, it was these unfinished songs of Bob Dylan, and this project's been going on for some time, but I can't remember, but they would bring in the front man for My Morning Jacket, Jim James.
Yes.
They would have the front man from Mumford and Sons.
Yes.
And what was the name of that collection of people? They called it something.
The Monsters of Folk? No, that's way.
It was different, back, yeah. But they were taking like these unfinished Bob Dylan songs and they were putting it together, and it was just a studio project. And man, that was a lot of fun for me for about, I don't know, 3-4 years ago now. That's how long it's been around. But they brought Johnny Depp in there to play lead guitar for a little while, which I thought was funny. I mean, and he's not a bad guitar player. He's not good, but he's passable.
Sure.
So I mean. Man,
he plays in the band with Alice Cooper, though. I mean,
come on, man. I ain't gonna throw no shade, dude.
I'm sorry, I did.
It's fun, man.
I mean, you know, like I remember growing up.
School's out, dude.
I remember growing up, and I went to a school that the majority of the boys in that school had crew cuts and wore camouflage coveralls every day to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I had long hair that went down to the bottom of my rib cage all the way around, one length. I had a goatee that was gigantic. I wore combat boots and cut off army breeches, you know. Got picked on a whole lot, as we have talked about before. But, you know, my mother always let me be who I wanted to be. She didn't mind any of the music I ever listened to, except for gangster rap. She didn't like gangster rap. But, you know, I make fun of things, you know, like Nashville and Kid Rock. And just be yourself. Be who you want to be. I mean, I'm just having a laugh, you know. But if you want to admire Scott Stapp, do it. I'm not going to. But you do it. You be you, man.
I mean, yeah, that whole thing is... Yeah, like even like Scott Stapp with Creed, but even Nickelback is making the turnaround. Like Nickelback is cool again.
You know they got a documentary out now.
Yeah, I saw the preview for that. Yeah. Like it was Chad Kroeger. He was talking about it. It happened all at once.
Love to hate Nickelback or something like that. Yeah,
I think it was. It kind of became like if I remember the narrative correctly. And what's so bad is I was, like, in the heat of that moment. Like, I was 18, 19, 20 years old. I was in college, and, like, that movement was surrounded by me, but I completely missed it. But I hated Nickelback, I guess, osmosis.
Yeah.
And I want to watch the documentary to see if I was, like, hive-minded into it. Because, like, when I go back and listen to Nickelback, it's not bad. Like, it's passable. Like, Chad Kroeger can write a hook.
He knows how to write a hook. The guitar player just like the guitar player for Collective Soul. They know how to write hooks and riffs.
That's another band that, like, they kind of drive me crazy. Like, every time I hear, like, what's the two songs of Collective Soul?
Shine.
Yeah, I always, like, immediately turn the channel.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's like...
It's just been that long we've had to hear that song, you know? It's like, eh. But, I mean, the guitar player for them and for Nickelback knew how to write a riff, you know? You got to give it to them. I don't mind Collective Soul. And another band that I never loved in the 90s that I like now is Candlebox.
Same.
Why I never liked them then, but now it's like I hear you, I'm like, hell yeah, cranking it up in the car.
They have been like coming up on like my algorithm when it comes to like, because all that Spotify or YouTube or like whatever I'm listening to, like, I'll pick an artist and just let it go, and then next thing you know, like, you've been in it an hour, and it's like, it's going way off base.
Yeah.
And, like, every now and then, it'll be Candlebox or something like that. Somehow you're at
Engelbert Humperdinck, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, Portland, going back there just for a second, Patterson Hood. Yeah. I have been obsessed with Drive-By Truckers for months now. And is it Panko and Manuel? Do you remember that song?
Danko. Yeah, for Rick Danko from the band. Yeah.
Damn, that song goes like
that whole record.
I've had that song. That's my favorite Drive-By Trucker record.
Yeah, the Dirty South.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mine too.
But like that particular song, man. Like when it comes up on playlists, like when it's over, I hit back, play it again.
Yeah.
And then it's over, play it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like that with that record on Man on the Moon or whatever it's called. What is it? Not Man on the Moon, is it? What the
fuck's that song? Oh, it's shit. Pull up the Google box.
Yes, I'm going to do it. I have to look at Spotify. That record is so phenomenal. And then you've got, I don't know, Bob is a great song for them, but it's not. It's on Creation Dark, whatever that record is. Shit, I don't even know. But Drive-By Truckers, man, I've always been a fan of theirs. It was really cool one time. I've been on Drive-By Truckers tour bus with Patterson Hood because me and my ex-wife were giving Patterson, he just had his little baby, and she made a onesie and printed on it Daddy's Little Trucker. And so he invited us on the tour bus, and it was pot smoke and women and... Isbel was there. This was way back in the day in Tuscaloosa.
Benzoazepines,
but I didn't get a chance to really meet anyone. But, what was it? Probably about 7, 8, 9 years ago, they had a big, gigantic NPR function at Druid City Brewing Company, and Patterson was there. He's a tall fella, but he's just a presence, you know? He's somebody. When you see him, even though he is dressed like you and I, you know, it just looks like he's fucking.
I mean, some people just have that kind of way about him.
Yeah, I guess so. People used to say that about me, you know. I guess because of my size too, because of me being so tall, I stuck out obviously.
I mean, also like just getting into, like when we met at the Sunstroke House. I mean, it was kind of that thing like of not only like are you tall in stature, but also. Like, just the way that other people kind of perceived you, it kind of made me feel like that's somebody.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
But, I mean, like, we're all somebody, but sure, you know what I mean?
Yes, but I think a lot of it, too, with me and with Monk, a lot of that died when I had my stroke. But I was very confident.
Yeah.
I was confident in who I was, you know, so I carried myself my head up, you know. Now I kind of just
am. Still should, brother.
I know I should, but a lot of times I'm just like, because when you're in a wheelchair, in a restaurant, in a store, wherever, nobody sees you. Nobody looks down. They all look straight ahead.
Okay.
You know, which in a lot of ways for an introvert, which I am, that's super duper cool. But to think about who I used to be, Monk on the Radio, an extrovert, fucking really a letdown, you know, but you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm working on getting standing back up and doing it, you know, like I used to, But yeah, there have been a couple people I've
met. I hope, like, ever since, like, Jeremy and I are coworkers now.
Yeah.
I hope your ears fucking burn Monday through Friday because we're talking about your ass.
Yeah, Jeremy and I, I've known Jeremy since he was
13.
13 or 12, I was going to say, yeah. Long time. Because I think he's 2 years.
You are the glue that binds Jeremy and I. So yeah. It's like, that's always our talking point.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's 2 years younger than me.
Yeah.
But just a good kid. There was a time when I didn't like Jeremy.
Oh.
I'll tell you this story.
Oh,
you can tell him. So I was dating this girl.
Oh, no.
This girl that had dated Jeremy for years. And they broke up and were broke up for a while. And then she and I kind of started seeing each other. She was ended up being a Looney Tune. So I'm really glad that neither one of us ended up with her. And then she left me to go back to him. There was a little point where I was like, man, and I've told him that story like a year ago or so. I was like, that was the point when I didn't care for you too much. You irritated me, you know, just because of that one thing. But, man, we were freaking 15, 16 years old. Man, shut up, you know? It's so stupid. I love that. I love that guy with all my heart. There are people in this world that I truly consider a brother, and Jeremy is one of those people. So,
you introduced me to him, and every run-in, like, just randomly I had with him at public, with, you know, whether it was at the Prairie Art Festival in West Point.
Yeah.
And, you know, with what he does with the Blues Museum there. Yeah. And I went to the event, and immediately when he saw me, like, the connection between us three, like, took over. But,
yeah,
like, man, just immediately treats you like one of his own.
Oh, yeah.
He just... salt of the earth,
just dude. good old country boy.
Good,
yes,
people, dude.
Yep. Mr. West Point is what, yep, I call he and his wife, Mr. and Mrs. West Point.
Oh, they really are. They really are.
Yep,
they really are. Shout out to Jeremy.
There's,
dude,
something. And you know what's funny, Lisa, his wife, this is not going to amount a hill of beans to anyone else, it's just you and I talking now, but Lisa, his wife, I grew up with her husband and her brother. And so I remember at one point, I asked John, her brother, man, what's your sister always acting so weird around us for? Oh, she thinks you're weird, so she don't hang around us. She goes, I swear I never said that. So anyway.
Oh, dude, let's go back to country. How much attention have you been paying to country music? Because there have been people outside of country who are kind of getting back, like, Post Malone, for instance.
Yeah.
He just put out a country record. It's a hit. I'm just outside looking in here.
Sure.
That's how I remember him being found. I remember that Post Malone video of him in his bedroom singing and playing on his guitar a Bob Dylan song.
Camouflage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Post Malone that we know today, and now he's doing country.
Yeah.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 10 for 10 on items like Lay's Stacks, Rice-A-Roni, and Sparkling Ice Sparkling Water for $1 each with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well,
I mean, is that the state of country that we're in now?
Man, I mean, I don't think country has a format anymore. I mean, it has a format, it has a country format, but there's no, like, certain way you're supposed to do things anymore.
Well, I mean, even, like, with friends of the show, friends of A. Partridge, the Red Clay Strays.
Yeah.
They, on this list that I saw, it was a list of... Get right back to you. Top 50 most impactful country of this year, and I saw the Red Clay Strays at 26.
Yeah.
They don't identify as country.
Sure.
It's Southern Rock. Yeah. Like, they identify more of, like, what you would consider, doesn't sound like Lynyrd Skynyrd, but it would have been, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd was sure. Southern Rock.
Blackberry Smoke.
Blackberry Smoke. Yeah. That idea.
Yeah.
But they get compacted into country because of maybe one or two songs of theirs.
And accents.
Yes.
You know, as far as like the pop country, radio country, popular country, I mean, it's its own thing. When Beyonce put out a record and Taylor Swift went pop and Darius Rucker came over and started making country music and
shout out now Hootie,
Post
baby.
Malone. You know, I mean, they do what they want to do, whatever. I don't listen to
it. Is it pandering, in your opinion?
Pandering? What does that mean? What are you talking about?
You just like, you ever listen to Bo Burnham?
No.
He's a comedian?
No.
He'll hop over on a piano and he's got a whole song about pandering. And it's like when you kind of see whatever you're doing isn't working, you'll pander over
sure.
to a formula that
I think
works.
Beyonce went because...
Oh, that's a good example.
There's money over there. Not that she needed help, but I mean, somebody like Beyonce, I don't know her story per se. I figure Post Malone, it's more of a like, I've always loved country. I'd love to go try it out, you know, but now I'd like to see Kid Rock over there and... I don't know. I mean, it's all an amalgamation of stuff that it's their thing. I would prefer to stay in the vein of, I don't know. I don't think you can label a whole lot. I talked to someone years ago that said that Americana was a broad umbrella and should be destroyed because Americana is not a thing.
Americana is a thing.
I mean, that's what this person said.
But anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's good damn music. It's in the country vein, I can say that, you know.
Definitely.
When we talk about the Red Clay Strays or Charlie Crockett or Margot Price, you know, any of those people. It's in the country vein. I don't know what country music is anymore. Is it Beyonce? Is it Charlie Crockett? Is it Red Clay Strays, Blackberry Smoke, Adam Hood? Don't really know these days. It's all blurry.
It's a blurred line, dude. And I mean, at the same vein, like George Strait was still popping up on that, and it's like that dude just came out and said he wanted to be retired, and then you have like all these in four.
He never retired.
Well, he wants to now. He says he says that he's in his twilight years, but like with that point of like. Americana and like it's not easily defined. Country music as a whole is beginning to be something that isn't easily defined when you have people such as a Beyonce or a Hootie and the Blowfish even. I mean it sure. happened long ago.
Yeah.
Or I mean all these people like coming into the space. Nothing against like someone going into a different genre, but like I think that is how things kinda get diluted.
Sure. That's 100% how it gets diluted. But, you know, you think about, like, back in the 80s, country music was pop music.
Yeah.
You know, when you had Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton and all of those making those, it was pop music back then. It was on popular radio. I mean, that's what pop means, popular. You know? I don't know. I mean, there's
I think that's the swing. It's coming back.
There's no definition. I like, and I'll say this, I like artists that are... in the country vein that are true to the old style.
I like Charlie Crockett here lately, dude.
Man. Dude, that's what I told you when you and I and Taylor sat down. I said his new record, $10 Cowboy, is the best record.
By the way, been on it.
Man, it's so amazing. America. And damn, oh my God, that whole record. Shit.
I think I'm Just a Clown is my favorite.
That is a... Now, mine is... Hard Luck. Circumstances. That's my hey. Favorite. It brought me here. And he's just so... You like watch
such
him.
Such a showman, too, and, when yeah, you watch him.
And you watch him like an interview with him. He's just so humble and... You know, I mean, he, for years... bust on the streets of New York, you know, his country ass, you know, boy from South Texas. Jeez. And so
didn't know
so,
that about that guy.
I'm so glad to see that he's made some of himself. Sarah Farrell is out there doing it. Autumn, Angela Autumn is another artist that I'm into. Cat Clyde, there's Nick Shoulders. I'm glad to see all of them going at it. And did you see? Sierra Farrell has had Nick Shoulders opening up for her. Uh-huh. That would be a killer show. They're playing Portland like 4 days before
you get there.
Before I get there, but it's sold out, so doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw he had some issues with getting across the pond with a tour that he had.
Yes, coming. I saw that too. Yeah.
Hate that. But yeah, Nick Shoulders, I'm glad. And that's another COVID thing that probably would have never happened.
Oh, yeah. I listened to it about a year ago. I was like, yeah, I got to go back and listen to that. Sat there and listened to the whole thing.
If yeah, hello, day. Everybody in Radio Land. That's how they started it. Yeah, Nick Shoulders came on Porch Talk. And before we got rolling, Abe had asked me, he's like, you talked to Abe lately. That is somebody I probably would have never met if it wasn't for COVID. Like,
A Partridge.
Yeah. I've got his hat on, Pop Country's for Posers. I was on my buddy's podcast, The Man Up.
Yeah.
And, like, the guy sitting next to me was shitting on the Post Malone country song.
Sure.
And he played about 30 seconds of it, and I was kind of bobbing my head through it. And Jake looks at me, and he's like, I never thought I would see the day to where Pop Country for Posers, Mr. Alan Aldridge, would be bobbing his head to a Post Malone song. Yeah. And I was like, I'm just putting myself in that song. I could definitely see me riding around with a girl that I like.
Yeah.
And she wants to play it, and I could definitely bob my head to
sure.
it.
Sure.
Or if I was...
No shame in that, man.
Or if I was out on the Tom Bigby... In a boat,
yeah,
and it was playing.
Yeah, I've not heard it, so
I was like, "It's." Would I listen to it in my truck? No. Would I listen to it at the house? No. But I was like,
"But if it's on in at somebody's house, you're not gonna go, oh my god!"
Exactly. Ugh. I was like, yeah. "In circumstance," and I got so, you. And he was like, "I think you need to start wearing the hat again." I was like, "I will." So I am.
Have you not been wearing it?
I have not.
I didn't realize.
Had not been wearing it. I've been.
I remember. I created a playlist on, and you could follow me if you want to. It's Monk on the Radio on Spotify. But I created a playlist called Pop Country is for Posers, based on what, on the Abe Partridge thing. He's the first song on there, but I think it's a pretty damn good playlist. Did you listen to it?
Yes.
Yes. It's a phenomenal playlist.
Fire Camino has made me a playlist too.
Yeah,
I gotta send that playlist.
Yeah,
those playlists are yes.
I gotta see if I'm following him or not.
Should man, he made a. I don't remember the name.
He's a good dude.
I don't remember the name of. I got y'all's episodes back to back.
Yeah,
and that's another thing is I was been talking to people who listen to the show.
Yeah.
And so, pat on your back here is, when's the next time Monk's coming back on?
Who said that?
Well, that was Fire Camino.
Yeah.
But also, like, going back to Kennedy or just people here around in Columbus is, I don't really tune into those interviews that you do. I like it when you got Monk or Big John or... I like Brother Cobb. Like,
yeah.
Whatever, like, just... could you just do more of that? I don't really care so much about the interviews. And yeah. I was like, well, if you want that.
Like our chance to get together, but I like it too when you get a chance to branch out. I like it personally when you delve into the blues, because we've talked about that before, about how when we first started hanging out, you knew very little about the blues.
Very little.
And we had a big old conversation, a great episode, probably one of our best, that one in the punk episode. And I mean, ever since then, you just opened up to the blues. You went, got to know Jimmy Duck and, yeah, a bunch of good folks. Robert Conley Farr.
I got to get over to Clarksville. Was
that a new song I heard him the other day?
Yeah.
Robert Conley?
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to it last night just flipping through, you know.
Well, if it maybe not new to him, but new to us.
Sure, yeah.
But I was talking to somebody the other day, and I got to get over to Clarksville to see. They were saying that the blues is dying.
Clarksdale is one of my favorite places on earth, but that town is dead.
Yeah.
I mean, half the damn building, over half the buildings in the town are closed. You need to get over there. You need to get hooked up right now on your Instagram with Roger Stoley. He runs a little cool-ass place called Cathead. It's a blues store. You need to get hooked up with him. He can hook you up with everybody big, but you need to have him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He can get you hooked up with Big Ace Rod, everybody there in Clarksdale, Watermount Slim even, and, who works at the Bluesberry Cafe.
And the person that told me that is someone who like works within the blues community in Mississippi, has had, you know, what I would consider their ear to the ground. And they were like, the blues is not being passed on. It's, I think like maybe R.L. Boyce or like Jimmy Duck Holmes, like that generation.
Yeah.
The generation after didn't pick it up, and the generation after that wants to pick it up.
When you got like Kingfish and, yeah.
And is carrying a torch, but it doesn't seem like there's not enough of them.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big enough master of knowledge about.
I'm not either. I'm just kind of relaying something. And like, yeah, when I think about it, I was like, I'm not in Chicago. I'm not really in Memphis.
Well, it's definitely not. The blues is not thriving and
where it was from.
Pulsating in Clarksdale. Because there ain't nothing there.
Well, I thought that would be where I would go.
I mean, that's, like I said.
I mean, I would go to the Foxfire Ranch. I mean, I could go up to the Hill Country.
Get down to Clarksdale. Book your room at the Shack Up Inn. Go down there when Taylor plays one time.
But it seems to me like that's what I was going to say. It seems it's not so much the blues anymore. It's just blues infused. And I'm not saying saying that's a bad thing.
I don't think that's what they accept at like Ground Zero.
Okay.
And Reds down there in Clarksdale. But get on your Instagram, follow Roger Stoley, and reach out to him and say, hey, I heard you were the man to talk to. Would you like to be on a podcast? And you need to go down there, have him on, and let him hook you up.
I'll go this
weekend. And then we can work around it and start. I'll go with you. I love Clarksdale. Even though there's nothing there, I love it.
I bet.
Yeah.
All right. I'll start setting that up.
Yeah, Roger Stoley was the story. I think he was doing some kind of investment or some shit in some northern town, Midwest.
Sounds like a story as it always goes.
And then loved the blues, so he was like, I'm going to move down to Clarksdale and become friends with all these guys and start promoting it. So he's put out movies about the blues.
Is he the guy behind the John Hurt's documentary that's coming out?
I have no idea, but maybe. But he's a dude, you know. He's on the board at the Blues Museum down there, Clarksdale Blues Museum, or Delta Blues Museum. So, yeah, you got to hook up with him.
Right on. Well, brother, anything else to do?
I'm good, man. I mean, check out the new Waxahachie record. That's what my new thing I've been listening to.
He's going
to
be seeing them. And, of course,
Charlie Crockett. Yeah. You got to listen to that summer gun.
Yeah, I'm going to keep your eyes on the prize. Don't forget about our boy Taylor Hollinsworth. He's got some new stuff coming out. Yes. Fire Camino's new record is out. Another snub for Mr. Snubnose, something. It's a cocaine reference or some weird thing. You know how Fire Camino is. He's a wild one.
Yeah.
I'll put something in the show description for that. Shout out to you, Josh. Love you, buddy. But, I don't know. Didn't even get into my drummer. Last day that I'm not going to have a interlock device on my truck.
A what?
Interlock device.
Because of your DUI?
Yes.
Oh.
So tomorrow I'll get my breathalyzer device installed. So this is the last, for 120 days, this is our last.
Roll Tide, brother.
Untapped. I mean, not last time. We can still do it. I'll just be like drinking a bottle of water or a seltzer.
Yeah. We'll just meet up after 120 days. We'll meet up after the election. And then we'll talk after that then. After Portland.
Well, I'd like to meet before.
Oh, I don't care. That's cool, man. I'm down.
I'll do it sober. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't care either. I've done it before.
Yeah, I've been called shitty at work, dude. I could be not shitty on my podcast.
Yeah. Well, talk about your drama, man. You see, last time before you able to drink and drive home.
That's my last time. My mom's real happy about that. Love you, Mom. But, I guess everybody should be. But, when I was hired into this job, I had an in. I got this job because of this podcast. I knew Bo, and Bo knew the guy that did HR for the city of Starkville. And he got me an interview. And got me into a job that I'm well qualified to do. And I've been doing that job for 5 years. And I have been doing that job well for 5 years.
Sure.
Now, over the past 9 months, my old supervisor, who I did not win over for 3.5 years, rode my ass, gave me shit the entire time. Until that last 9 months is. Shout out to you, Russell. Love you, bub. Miss you. He's moved on to Jackson. A bigger utility organization. Maybe I'll end up down there with you. I don't know. But to an old coworker who has become my supervisor. And my goodness, dude. He's just
a shit ass.
It's just been a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
He is not qualified for the position. And it's becoming more glaringly obvious every day. And when the people above him, such as the general manager or whomever else, is coming down on him, and they begin to threaten him with losing his job, he begins to threaten me and my coworkers with our job, and that's been going on for about 2 months. And lately it has been coming to a head to where, man, I went into work Friday after the 4th of July. Got my ass chewed out. I took Wednesday off, and then I had Thursday off for the 4th, and then I come in Friday, got my ass chewed out. And I was confused the whole time. I was like, dude, I ain't been here in 2 days. I don't know what. And then today, I walk in, and I'm getting my ass chewed out. And then he hands me a piece of paper. We got this new, clocking in system. I used to be salary, and now I have to clock in because I'm hourly. Over the past 3-4 months, of however long I've been clocking in, I'd been late 5 times. It goes anywhere from 5 minutes to, there was one time where I was an hour and a half late. I did do that.
Fair, yeah.
Did do that. That's bad. But I mean, at the same time, but like
3 minutes, you don't deserve that one, but you deserve the hour and a half.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. I totally deserved that. I would have took the ride up that day, dude. Like, yeah. That was on me. That's fine. On that. But yeah, now, like that has escalated to the ass chewing, and I would like to ass chew in like 1-on-1, but he did it like in a group setting. Jeremy was there for it.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to be, his words, you're the lead man, you're the front man, you're the leader of this pack, and you're shitty. You set a shitty example, and, yeah, well. Shit, dude. Maybe I am. Maybe I should move on.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Like I've enjoyed that job. It was a good job for me in the time.
But from the stories I've heard, you've had a lot of people picking on you.
The whole time. Yeah. The whole time I've been there, dude. Yeah.
I wondered why you hadn't moved on to this point. Yeah, but, I mean, people need work. You know, I understand that and all, so.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not all about the money, but, like, the money was good, and, like, I don't really give a fuck about what people say.
Yeah.
Especially at work, because I only got to see you fucking 8 hours, and then we'll hang out with, like, my real friends and go make music and make podcasts and go have a kick-ass time.
Like, you're welcome here anytime,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna go have a good time. Like, you can, yeah. Like, you don't like my hair, you don't like the way I dress. Da 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 da. Yes,
fine. Don't you wear uniforms?
Yeah.
What the fuck's he talking about then? Why you dress?
Oh, sometimes I wouldn't wear my uniform in the work.
Oh, okay.
I come in there in street clothes sometimes. But if I'm on the street,
sure. You got you. But
I'm not excusing that. That's bad on me. But like, I went from having a job that I'm supposed to be like, my job is like riding around in a truck. I didn't see the need to wear a uniform because like my truck had the
logo on it where you work at.
And I'm not getting out. Like you just see the truck. But yeah, I get it. Yeah, I guess. Once again, I'm not excusing myself at all. I wouldn't go so far as to be, say, shitty. That's a bit much. And so, like, the guy that is my supervisor now is really working his way towards not being somebody that I would be cool with. He looked at me today. He's like, I thought we were friends. That's a bit of a stretch. Like, we were coworkers.
Yeah.
We're not fucking friends, dude. I've never hung out with you outside of work.
Yeah.
I damn sure wouldn't have a beer with you now.
Sure.
So, like, there was a time where I would have. Not now. Especially not now. If you would have showed up at Porch Fest now, I'd probably get on the microphone and kick you the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do that to no fucking body. But I would do that to you.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now.
Huh.
And you just, like the, yeah, like you said, the whole fucking time I've been there, like, they fucking shitty to me.
Yeah.
I just go in there and fucking do my shit. That's all I do.
No, I understand.
And it's never about the actual work. I do my job.
Yeah.
It's always about, like,
and just... you've been there for 5 years for a reason.
Yeah. 5 years.
Yeah.
Now you won't bring this shit? Fuck yeah.
You weren't doing your job that it got rid of you right away.
Yeah. Now they're headhunting. So I hope they do. Maybe I walk in there tomorrow and it's all gold. You know what? I'll have another job that same day, so fuck them. So I don't... Yes, why I didn't really want to get into it. And I'll tell you... God, let me get off on this Charlie horse for a second. I'll tell you where it all started. They got this new... Okay, the new general manager is a Nepo guy. That's nepotism. The first time that he was offered to get that job before the board, everything has to go before the city. He was turned down that job. He's not supposed to be there. He is not fit for that. He has a civil engineering degree. He was a civil engineer for the city. He was over the civil department of the city, which is where he should be. And by the way, he's not real good at that. But because the sewers don't work, and he designs them. That's neither here nor there. Now he's over the utility department. He sucks dick at that. Go figure. Okay? Now they brought in this other guy. And I'll tell you, like, I'm not going to name drop this guy. Yeah, I think he listens to the show. I don't really give a fuck about that either, but how you doing? This cat is the main reasons that I don't go to church anymore. He is the number one fucking reason, like, I don't really like Christianity anymore. Like, he is the type of person that just completely turns me off. Like, I love and believe in Jesus Christ, but, like, I would never step a foot in a church building because of a person like him. Is this guy is like, he is the type of guy that really likes hearing himself talk.
Sure.
Here I am holding a podcast where I'm getting my, hear myself.
But talk. I've worked radio for years and I worked around nothing but people who love to hear themselves talk.
So. But this is a different kind of talk. I think you know the kind of talk I'm talking about. And so like, we have never really done safety and like, this is utility company. We work around electricity, power lines, things of that nature. He has single-handedly made this entire company dog shit for his safety regulations and things that he is, like, required. And once a month, he gets to step up on his fucking soapbox and talk about how safe and effective everything is. We have more injuries now because of him than we did before.
Wow.
He's a fucking idiot. He's just as wide as he is tall, and he likes talking about fucking safety and all this fucking horse shit. And he's the kind of guy, like, walk up to you like your fucking mother-in-law does at the fucking family dinner, and it's like, bless your heart.
Yeah.
And not mean it. He's that motherfucker.
Yeah, gotcha. Like, gotcha.
I ain't got no love in my heart for this guy, but I wish the very best for him. He might be the number one reason I want to get out. It's like, I don't like being around those kind of people. It's like, he's a fraud and a fake, and like, he makes Christianity look bad, and he makes me hate Christianity, and I consider myself to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that guy.
That's a dilemma, dude. Now, I'll tell you how it came to me. I think we've talked about this before, but I'll refresh your memory. Back in Tuscaloosa, I was overwhelmed at my job. Worked for a bunch of great people, but just it was too much for me. And I walked in my coworker's office and I said, "Man, I'm ready to fucking quit." Mm-hmm. He goes, "You ain't gonna quit." I was like, "What the fuck you mean I'm not gonna quit?" He was like, "You ain't gonna quit." I'm like, "Bullshit." And he's like, "I dare you." So I went next door to my office, sat down, pulled up a resignation letter, printed it out, signed it, went and put it back on his desk. He goes, "You ain't gonna give that to the boss."
Huh.
I walked down two doors to the boss's office, gave him that, and quit right that day. I had no plans to do shit.
Dude, that was I about had that same thing happen to me today.
There's a point where you just burn out. You just wear down. I mean, if it's fucking with your spirituality along with your mental health, I mean, that's something you got to be concerned about, dude. You ain't getting any younger.
We are.
It's only
going to
get harder.
We're there, man.
It's only going to get harder the older you get.
That being the day, he called, like, my new supervisor called me shitty in front of all my other coworkers, including Jeremy. Jeremy shouldn't have been in that meeting. He's none the wiser. Nothing against him. He's part of the team. But, like, that meeting was between us, quote unquote, fuck ups. Jeremy shouldn't, he should not have heard that.
Yeah, sure.
Shouldn't have been in there.
But he did.
He did.
He don't think no less of you because I know Jeremy Klutz for years.
No.
So, yeah.
And I know Jeremy, too. And I've already talked to him. I was like, "You're about to hear some bullshit, dude." I knew the shit was coming down the pike.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, he called me fucking shitty in front of the guys I've been leading. This one guy, both of them, single fathers. One's got 3 kids. One's got 2 kids. They're doing everything they can fucking do to provide for their kids and themselves.
Sure.
And they can't do fucking dick right according to fucking supervisor.
Yeah.
And I'm a bad fucking leader because I try to make the fucking day fun.
You probably, and I'm just going to guess at this, you probably got some people in the lead that don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Hey.
So they make up for it by telling you, you guys are responsible for it because they're getting their ass chewed on the side.
That's what's happened with the supervisor. Yeah. And shit rose downhill.
Yeah.
But and like I say, I don't want to hate anybody, but like it's getting really hard for that. Because like after he got through chewing my ass, I went out to the parking lot to go get in my truck to go continue on with the work that I had to do that day. And he walked out there to me, knocked on the fucking window, rolled my window down. He's like, I'm getting really fucking tired of your excuses. And I just looked at him and I was like, define excuses. Because I ain't never fucking told you anything but the truth. I was like, what's an excuse? Have I been telling you that the damn dog has ate my homework? Every time that I've been late, what did I tell you? I told you that I overslept. Anytime something that didn't get done, I told you exactly why. That's not an excuse. I'm telling you what had happened, and I'm telling you the truth. Because, like, my grandfather and my father told me, like, if you fucking lie, you have to remember that lie because you're going to have to rehearse that lie.
Sure.
But if you tell the truth,
yep,
you told it.
You're going to have to rehearse shit. Yeah.
That's what happened. And I was like, brother, I don't lie. I can't afford to lie because I ain't got a good memory.
Fair. Yeah.
I don't do it. And I was like, even if it hurts, I'll tell the truth. And I was like, I ain't lied to you. I'm not giving you no fucking excuse. But I was like, you're going to have to get off my ass.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, brother, I mean, advice from someone who I consider my brother.
Come on with it.
You know, I'm older than you. I was older than you when I had my stroke. I had my stroke because of stress and high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing you got no wife, no kids.
Mm-hmm.
Most important thing you got is your mental health. Watch that shit.
Protect it.
Protect it, man. I mean, you do what you got to do. I mean, I, you know what you can handle. You know that you can go work at McDonald's or wherever you need to work at. But you got to protect your mental health, man, because it'll tear you down quick. I let it tear me down, and look what happened. You know?
Yeah.
I got nothing but time to sit around a fucking house every day and fucking think about what I used to do, you know? Yeah. So don't do that. Don't be that person.
Brother, I appreciate that. Yes, sir. I mean, also, like, I hate I got fucking bitchy, but, like, it's worth it.
Man,
it's worth it for that advice, and if anyone is out there that's going through the same shit.
Hell yeah.
I think that's good for them.
Yep.
It's good for me, too. And I'm about to, dude, because, like, I've already been talking to other people, and, brother, you done called me shitty, so I'm going to get my shit out of your way.
There you go, yes. I'll go be shitty on my own time.
That's exactly
around my own people.
Well, Monk, thank you so much, brother.
Yes, sir, brother.
gum trees. I heard you stole a preacher's wife. Through those burning rains and burning brains and burning things that changed my mind. Did anybody spare the time? You know I tried to find my answers, but all I found was black volcano hot eyes. Did anybody spare the time? Got me wondering about my blue skies and rain. Are things ever gonna change? Tired eyes, lightning bolts, and I wonder why. It seems they'll always stay the same. 'Cause I'm tired of sitting, tired of standing, tired of walking down this same old assembly line. Can anybody spare the time? And I don't know why they did it, but they whipped the horses' eyes. Now those horses can't even cry. Got me wondering about my blue skies and rain. Are things ever gonna change? Tired eyes, lightning bolts and midnight cries. It seems they'll always stay the same. Well, I'm tired of sitting, tired of standing, tired of walking down this same old assembly line. Can anybody spare the time? And I don't know why they did it, but they whipped the horses' eyes. Now those horses can't even cry. Got me wondering about my blue skies.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.